Would you open your Bible with me to Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Everybody got the sermon notes? Sermon outline? Karen? Yep. Okay. Last week we did the introduction portion. Now we're going to go to the verse-by-verse expository study matter. So please pay attention, please. It's been said that if you trace Paul's first missionary journey, it would be like a wounded deer bleeding and making a bloody trail. And trying to get away from the hunter. Because we find that wherever he went, he pretty much bore the scars of physical abuse from the enemies of the God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter, keep your finger right where you have, then the Philippians chapter 1. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 24. From the Jews, 5, this is a confession of Apostle Paul who went through a difficult time with the enemy of God. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. And 3 times I was beaten with the rod. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I don't think anybody wants to take a cruise with this guy. Night and day I have been in the deep and in the journey, often the perils of water, perils of robber, perils of my own countrymen, in perils of Gentile, in perils of the city, perils in the wilderness, in perils in the seas, and perils among the false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness, often in hunger and thirst, in fasting, often in cold and nakedness, besides the other things that come, comes upon me daily, then my deep concern for all the churches. As you can see it, as I said before, he is boring the shocking story of scars, visually testified that persecution from the enemies. How could this man, writing of this joy-filled epistle, from the deep within side of dungeon of Roman prison. The reason why he is not controlled by the circumstances because he had faith and confidence in God. Paul understood that joy does not depend on circumstance, people, or possessions, but it's an attitude. Folks, it's an attitude that determines by the confidence in God. It's not something that, you know, if my situation is good, I'll be happy, I'll be joyful. No. It's an attitude, a determination. Determined by the confidence in God. And regardless of how difficult the path is, how bloody the trail is, Paul continued to choose to put his confidence in God. This brings the question to ourselves. Am I kind of Christian who brings the joy to my fellow believers, or am I making them have a disgusted groaning? Have you ever thought about that? When they think of you, when they think of me, do they say, wow, he is such a blessing to everyone? Or would they say, "Rrr"? It can happen. Depends on how we act. So we'll start at the verse 1 of chapter 1 of Philippians, and we will pray. Heavenly Father, we like to have our Christian life to be filled with the joy that comes from you. Because we trust you, because we have a confidence in you. Let us not be the one who goes from one end to another end affected by the situation, affected by the circumstance. But rather, let us keep our eyes on you and seek you and to please you. We open our heart to you to receive your guidance through this wonderful book. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1. Excuse me. Paul and Timothy, bondservants, on the line, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons, on the line, grace to you and the peace, again on the line, peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. I can think of a handful of people in our church who are filled with the joy of God. Whenever I think about them, of course, I get to have a smile on my face because they're kinds of people who seems like they never go down. Have you ever seen one of those people who just bouncing up, and even though their situation is awful? You know their situation is awful, but still continues to go on. And there, and then there's another different kinds of people, other side of the spectrum. Woe is me, and dragging their tails and dragging their feet, and then they're coming to church. First thing, when you ask them, how are you? And then they spill the whole guts on them. It's like, okay, I really don't want to know about that kind of thing. But those people who are joyful, they're contagious as much as the other side are contagious too. The church of Philippi is the first church that established in the continent of Europe. This is established by the Apostle Paul. Paul mentioned the Timothy, his name, not because he is a co-authoring, but Timothy was also well known to the believers of Philippi. So he wanted them not only to, hey, Timothy is fine, he's doing okay. At the same time, we're going to see that Paul is going to send Timothy back to Philippi to help them. We already know that the bondservant means the doulos, of course, in singular is a douloi. It means that after 7 year period of time, the slave need to be released if they are the Hebrew slaves. However, that person says, well, I want to stay with you, master. So by choice, voluntarily, that person choose to stay in the slave, as a slave. Of course, if we put that thing in a spiritual aspect, we are set free by the Lord Jesus Christ's atoning sacrifice. We are no longer slave of sin. We are no longer slave of enemy, Satan, but we choose to, even though we are set free, we choose to be the servant of God Most High. So we can call ourselves the bondservant of Jesus Christ. Even though in the eyes of Philippian believers, these people, these two men of God, Paul and Timothy, are the larger-than-life heroes, they call themselves bondservant. See, this is another thing, the good thing about the Apostle Paul. He not only have a confidence in God, but also he has a confidence in his position as bondservant. How many times do you see this quote-unquote Christian celebrity excited to be the bondservant of Jesus Christ in nowadays? Not a whole lot. They want to be called a reverend, of course. That's a favorite title. They want to be called reverend. They don't want to be called as pastor, but reverend. And then they want to be known, they want to be recognized. But Apostle Paul, as I said before, literally he's the second in command in Christianity, yet he liked to be called as bondservant of Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul called himself bondservant, but he called people in Philippi, what did he call them? Go back to the verse 1. To all the what? Saints. You might want to jot it down there next to the saint. Set apart. Set apart. To set apart. That means saint means set apart. Yes, they are the one who set apart from the worldly system, set apart for God. And I ask you on the line, grace and also I ask you to underline peace. This grace and peace, if whenever you open up the Bible and any portion of the epistles written by Apostle Paul, you see the first two words, grace and peace to you all. You must be Sodom guy, y'all, you know. Anyway, see this, Apostle Paul is saying grace and peace. Never peace and grace, always grace and peace. Now, let's dissect one at a time. Grace is the word that used as a greeting in the Greek world. It's language charis. That's common word. It's still, I was told, modern day Greece, people in Greek still use, Greek people still use this word charis to say hello to one another. Now, what about the peace? Peace, yes, grace is a common word for Greek people to greet one another, but the peace is the Hebrew way to say to greet one another. We all know the word, shalom. Of course, the word Jerusalem is part of the peace. Jeru means the city, and shalom. Salam. So, city of what? Peace. Did that city ever had a peace? No, never had a peace. That city is not a city of peace, but a city of war. As a matter of fact, it was a thorn. It's been a thorn in the flesh of the world. Nobody knows what to do with that particular town, city. It's not even a pretty city, to be honest with you, if you've been there. And it's not drop that gorgeous and you're not taking breath away when you look at the city. It's not like that. It's just hills and a little valleys on each side. But because of God, because of Satan, that place all of a sudden become a powder keg of the old world. That city will never have a peace, true peace, until the Prince of Peace comes. All right. Grace, and Paul extended to the Philippians, means God's free and unmerited favor toward all undeserving people. That is the definition of grace. This grace is something that comes to us. Grace never something we can earn. It comes to us as a free gift. However, on the other hand, peace is the something that transpires in us as a result of receiving grace of God. Until we have that grace of God in our heart, we can never have true peace. That's why many people try many other things until they come to this point, they cannot find the peace. There's three thoughts I'd like to bring it to you from verse 3 to verse 6 that I find in fellowship, but this fellowship is fellowship in the mind. From verse 7 through 8, you'll find a fellowship in heart. And from verse 9 through 11, you find a fellowship in prayer. We'll go one at a time. So fellowship in mind, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, and making requests for you all the joy. For your fellowship is in gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who have begun, underline begun please, a good work in you will complete, and some of your versions says perfect, completed until the day of Jesus Christ. If you are the person who have a tendency to get disappointed, get blown back and forth because of circumstance, this is the verse you need to memorize. He who could begin a good work in you will be faithful to complete until the day of Jesus Christ. Memorize this. Put it in your heart, please. Memories filled, the Apostle Paul's heart is all good about the Philippi people. Why? Didn't he remember the time he was stuck in the prison stock and he got beat up before he got end up in the prison? Yes, he remembered. He was also stoned. Didn't he remember that? He got persecuted. Didn't he remember that? Yes, he remembered them all. But he overcame those difficulties. Why? Because when he was stoned, he remembered the demon-possessed girl who got set free by the power of God. When he was thrown in prison, after the earthquake, the jailer and the whole family come to know Jesus Christ. Every bad incident, he remembered good incident. So to him, the place the memory of Philippian believers are nothing but good things. No right-minded preacher would ever want his congregation to go, fizzled. Some people who come to know Jesus Christ, they start with a sizzle and end up in fizzle. You know what I'm talking about? They start so hard, so good. They start to memorize the Bible verses. They read all the chapters in the Bible. And about a year later, you can't even find the shadow of that person in the church. Why? Because he backslid. No preacher wants that. This is the case in point. Apostle Paul didn't want these people, Philippi people, to go backslidden. But obviously, these people are consistent, alive, and actively participating in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, the word joy appeared for 19 times throughout the entire epistle of this Philippians. But that is not the center of this book, center of this letter. Yes, the theme is the joy. However, that's not the main thing. What is the main thing? That particular word mentioned 40 times is Jesus. As I said before, we cannot have a peace unless we receive grace. We cannot have joy unless we have Jesus in our heart. So the center of this epistle is nothing but Jesus Christ. Christian life is a continuing progress. Christian life is a continuing progress. God nurtures us from the birth to the glory. He grooms us, he prunes us when we don't like, and prepare us to be used by him, and he even prides us knowing the privilege and having the privilege of God's wonderful work. If you're like me, there are a few things in your garage or in your rooms, in one of the rooms in your house. There's an unfinished project. You started somehow, and then you, with the excitement, and somehow you kind of put it away and never got back. Of course, your New Year start, and then many people will start with a good new resolution. I will do this. And how long does it last? That's up to you guys. Usually about 3 days. And stop. However, to God, there's no such a thing as unfinished project. When he starts, he finishes it. Once he starts to work on a person's life, he sees to it that it gets finished. We can bank on him because he's faithful. Okay? Perhaps the easiest way to summarize Paul's reason for joy is a two word, as I show on the line, begun and complete. Begun and complete. God start the work, and he finish it. Now, when I ask you on the line to complete, you want to mark and put the three words. It is finished. That's the same Greek root term that mentioned in the book of John. Jesus said, tetelestai, it is finished. He said, completed. It's perfected. Not only God started, he perfected, he stayed at it, and he finished it. That's the same Greek root word. So we go back to the text in verse 7. Just as it is right for me to think of this of you all, because I have you in my heart, in as much as both in my chains, in my and in the defense of the confirmation of the gospel. You all are the partaker with me of grace, for God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection, underline affection please, of Jesus Christ. Is it possible to have others in mind, those people in our mind and not caring about them? Is it? Can we think about somebody and think about that person in our heart, but not caring about them, not loving them? Yes, it's possible. Because a lot of times we say with our lips, yeah, I love you, man. Doesn't mean a thing. I'm praying for you. Liar. We forget. Or we'll say, well, because of my old age. No, not really. Because of carelessness. A lot of times we mean well, but we don't carry it through. God is not like that. Apostle Paul is not like that. This aging apostle, he believed, he thinks that this is Philippian believers, the apple in his eyes. Even though he was in chain, he think very highly of them. How often, let me ask you this, don't raise your hand and don't answer me because it can be quite embarrassing. How often do we pray for the missionaries whom you know, whom we know, while they are spreading the word of God in the foreign land or different places? How often do we pray for them? How often do we pray for the youth group or children's ministry? Not just with words, not just but meant it from your heart. It is easy for us to fall into the kind of spell, repeating the things without even thinking. Yeah, we thank God for the food. Do we really mean it? Let's not just say it, mean it. Paul's love was not nothing just he merely talked about, but he practiced. It's not a Paul's love that channeled through the Jesus Christ. It's a Christ's love channeled through Apostle Paul. Folks, when we serve other people, we become nothing more than channel of Jesus Christ and love of Jesus Christ. That's why it is so important being available to other people. Apostle Paul not only had a great confidence in Philippians, he also had a warm affection of them. Now, this affection word, a Greek word is splagnon, I guess, meaning bowels. You know, bowel? The first century idea is the intestine. That's the idea, you know, when their deepest emotion is here. When you read the Song of Solomon, some of you read that portion, and there's a woman speaking, and the woman said, I heard my husband's voice and my bowel moved. And I was thinking, lady, you have a bowel movement? Move away, go to the bathroom. But their idea is, it's down here. That's the concept, the deepest emotion. See, think with me. When something goes wrong, does it hit you here or does it hit you here? Stomach just shrinked and, you know, knotted. You don't know what I'm talking about. That is the reason why they said the first century people expression is intestinal, bowel. That's the deepest emotion. Apostle Paul is saying that. I have an emotion that comes from love, comes from here, not just here. So we go to the verse 9. And this I pray that your love may abound still more and more on the line in knowledge and all discernment on the line that please. That you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere on the line that also please. And without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by the Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. Since Apostle Paul cannot be there physically, he did something better than what he can do. Guess what he did? He prayed. He lifted his people to the throne of grace. Remember then when we studied Exodus chapter 28, high priest is supposed to carry the breastplate. That's supposed to look like that. Has a 12 precious stone, each one engraved with the tribe's name. Why did he have that thing over his chest? Because it's close to his heart, around the tummy area. Close to his heart. Just like that, Apostle Paul is saying he was carrying these people's thought into his heart, over his heart. This prayer is for the maturity, and he begins with love. And like a river, however, their love must be controlled. If the river is not controlled by the two banks on each side, that river, what happened? Flooded. The place, it goes into the place where it's not supposed to go and damage and destroy things. Good example, New Orleans. The seawater supposed to stay one area and not supposed to come into the area. The bank was not high enough and the city was lower than the outside. So when the water came in, bank could not hold it, and of course it flooded the whole area. That's not just the only situation. When we have this year, right? We had a lot of rain, and the flood happened. What happened? Because the bank was not holding it. Think with me, please. The love, without a discernment, unchecked love. Did I miss something? Yes. Perhaps the deepest Christian fellowship and joy are the experience in this life at the throne of grace and praying for one another, praying with one another. That I missed. I apologize. The love we give out to the people must be checked. If it's unchecked, unchecked love causes its own kinds of damage and desolation. Without the discernment, the love blindly donates to the whatever cause comes to the door. And with it, the love learns to spot the phony and the wrong and the evil. So consider that knowledge is one side of the bank, and the discernment is at the other side of the bank, controlling the love. As I said before, without thinking, without the discernment, without knowledge, love can do more damage than good. In our church, like many other churches, we have a ministry and a fund called Benevolence. We make that thing available for those who are in need. Pastor Jack is in charge of that ministry. Last 4 years, we've learned a very important thing. We are not supposed to help people, those who are outside of church, because we don't know about them. And now I'm finding out a lot of people goes from church to church and abusing that benevolent system. They call and making a sad, sobbing story. And they say, well, we cannot pay the rent, and my kid is starving to death, and we need a milk, we need a diaper, you know. If that's true, why wouldn't help? But these people go from the one church to another church. So we decided we would not help those people who are outside of the fellowship of Jesus Christ. If they come to church, we've known them and they need help, we helped them before and we will continue to help them. I ask you on the line, word sincere. This word sincere comes from the Latin word sinceros, which means without wax. And then you're thinking, what's that got to do with sincerity? Bob, you know the story? Woman people love the statues. That's why you would see, if you go to the Vatican or if you go to the Italy, the first thing you would see is all these sculptures. They're made out of marbles. Only problem, my major when I was in college was sculpture, whether you believe or not. And clay, you can play around however you want. Problem with this stone or marble, one time wrong, the one cheese goes wrong, the nose goes off, the chin goes off, the arm goes off. Nowadays, it's no problem. You just use a super glue, just put it back on. They didn't have a super glue. So what they did is they used a marble powder mixed with wax. Ingenious, right? They stick it under the nose, on the chin, and they put it back together, and then they sold those marble statues. Only problem is during the winter time, that's fine. But when the hot summer time comes in Italy, the hot sun starts to melt those wax. All the next morning you go out and there's a nose gone. What happened? It's wax running down on the side of the face. So some of the most more expensive statues will have a sign called Sinceros, without wax, telling them this is a whole marble without wax. Also, in the Greek term, you stick it against the sunlight. Is this the real? Testing against sunlight. What Apostle Paul is telling them is, can our lives be tested against the light? So I have to ask ourselves two questions. Spiritual discernment is required. Will it make others stumble? Whatever you do, whatever I do, will this make others stumble? Yes, we have a liberty in Christ Jesus, but would that make other people to stumble, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 7? Second question, will I be shamed if Jesus should come back right now? Whatever you're doing, whatever I'm doing, would that make Jesus to be shamed of us? Because that's not right with him. Think about it. I bet we will do far less things, will speak far less things. Apostle Paul also prayed that they might have a mature Christian service. Too many Christian people try to produce a result in their own effort instead of abiding in Christ and allow God to produce the fruit in them. The key point is abiding in Christ. Of course, John chapter 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is what it's talking about. The difference between spiritual fruit and human religious activities, human thing is allowed, they can boast their strength and their ingenuity. However, what the God does is always beautiful, always wonderful, and no one can take a credit. Let's make applications. Number one, joy does not depend on circumstance, people, or possession. It is attitude, note the word, attitude determined by confidence in God. Second application, Christian life is a continuing progress. Once God starts to work on a person's life, he sees to it that it gets finished. You can bank on him because he is faithful. Third application, when we permit God to perform his good work in us, then we grow in our love for one another. Without discernment, love blindly donates to whatever cause comes to the door. With it, love learns to spot the phony and the wrong and the evil. Remember what I said. The river of love must be contained within the bank of knowledge and bank of discernment. Otherwise, it will do more damage than it's good. Fifth application. True spiritual fruit is so beautiful and so wonderful that no man can claim credit for it. The glory must go to God alone. Folks, remember, the fellowship in heart, and fellowship in mind, fellowship in heart, fellowship in prayer is a way to do it, not just with the words. Praying for one another, lifting each other, and the word said, do not forsake the assembly of gathering. Let's stand up and pray.